Hi, welcome back to another episode of You the Mother podcast by Abby Williams, a space dedicated to supporting, empowering, and connecting all parents in all seasons of parenthood. You can find more supportive content over on Instagram at You the Mother, and be sure to check out youthemother.com, where you can reach out to work with me one-on-one or sign up for my group coaching. In this week's episode, I am welcoming on a fellow social worker, Michelle Felder. Michelle is a psychotherapist and parenting coach with over 20 years of experience working with children, families, and educators. She is the founder and CEO of Parenting Pathfinders, which provides services to parents and caregivers with the goal of helping them to effectively navigate the challenges of raising children and supporting their emotional and mental health. Michelle specializes in child development and intentional parenting. Her work is rooted in mindfulness and builds upon each person's strengths. Michelle is an adjunct lecturer and faculty advisor at New York University, as well as a review board member at Parents and Very Well Family. In today's episode, we talk all about why we stress over things that should make us happy and how to become a more resilient parent. I know for a lot of us who are on healing journeys and doing some of the cycle breaking work, we have a lot of complicated feelings around peace, calm, happiness, joy. Sometimes it can feel like the other shoe is about to drop. And sometimes we have a lot of resentment and anger when we aren't feeling happy in the moments where we feel like we should feel happy. And in today's episode, we unpack some of that and talk about it. You can find Michelle over on Instagram at parenting_pathfinders. You can find her on her website, parentingpathfinders.com. She also has a daily desk calendar with inspirational and supportive messages for parents and caregivers that I will be linking in the description of this podcast. I hope that you enjoy today's episode. And if you do, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review. Your support here on the podcast always means the world to me, and I so appreciate you being here. So let's get started in supporting you, the mother. Michelle, welcome to You the Mother podcast. I am so excited that you are here joining me today and having this conversation about why some of us get stressed out about things that we should feel happy about. I know a lot of us kind of struggle with this, especially those of us in my community that identify with being on some of this healing journey work. There's lots of different things that kind of come up in our bodies and stress, and we'll kind of talk about it and unpack some of these things. But Michelle, first, tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, Abby, thank you so much for inviting me on. It's awesome to be here with you today. I am a psychotherapist. I'm a parenting coach. I'm the founder and CEO of Parenting Pathfinders, which provides evidence-based services to parents and caregivers with the goal of really helping them to navigate the journey of parenting mindfully and to really support their emotional health and their mental health along the way. Yeah. So I offer coaching to parents and caregivers, co-parents, and really, you know, help folks to navigate this journey in the way that works best for them and their family's unique needs.
Yeah, and you have so much really helpful and important content over on your page around a lot of different topics of parenting. So be sure to go check out Michelle's page over on Instagram. Michelle, I guess, like, let's kind of dive in and talk about some of this. Why do we get stressed over things that should make us happy? Where is some of the stress coming from around happy things?
Yeah, I think, and I love how you're saying should, because I've put big air quotes around should.
Right? We're really good about shoulding on ourselves, aren't we?
Oh, man. The shoulds are such a dangerous rabbit hole to go down.
Yeah.
But I think that thinking that we should feel a way, be a way, things should be a certain way can really trap us and can create a lot of anxiety when they look different. And so instead of being able to sort of take things as they are and go with the flow and pivot when necessary, we can get really stuck in, okay, well, I'm doing this wrong, or this shouldn't be this way, or it needs to be another way. And that can create a lot of stress in our bodies and a lot of anxiety also.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that like this can come up in lots of different scenarios in parenting, right? A lot of my community is kind of on this like healing journey kind of stuff, but I think like we can plug this into so many different topics. Can you kind of talk about like when some of these things might come up where we maybe have these expectations that this should be a happy time, but I don't feel so happy right now?
Yeah, well, even starting from the moment you become a parent,
right?
You become a parent in whatever way your family is able to grow. And for some people, even becoming a parent is a journey in and of itself.
Yes, it is.
Right? And then you become a parent, you have this child, and it's, you might be filled with so much joy and excitement, but there's so much fear. There's so much that's unknown. And parenting is the one thing that there's no course in it beforehand. Right. You know, you have this child and you're off in the world and we're all trying to figure it out. And so I think that it can be really challenging even from the very beginning, right? When parenting is really hard and it could be really stressful. But sometimes I find that folks may think, well, I wanted to become a parent so badly, or I really fought to become a parent, or I went through this long process to become a parent, and now I am. Why aren't I happy? Why am I stressed? Why don't I like this all the time? Yeah. And that is such a normal experience that people have. And so when we're able to, and so that is one reason why I think that we can have so much stress, even from just becoming a parent. And then all of these moments along the way, when there are changes, right? Perhaps you're moving your family to a new place. It could be really exciting, a new town, a new home. But again, those unknowns can be really, really scary. How are my kids going to transition? How am I going to transition? This new commute, what's that going to look like? The morning routine, all of these things are going to be different. But starting a new job, right? You could be so excited for this new career path, this new opportunity. But again, it could create so much stress and anxiety thinking about the unknown and getting sort of trapped in that. And that's why I think one of the most helpful tools that we can use in those moments are just mindfulness strategies to really help to ground ourselves in what is, not what we think should happen or what we expect to happen or what might happen, but what is actually happening right now. And using different tools and strategies, you know, that we can get into, but thinking about how to ground ourselves in the present moment can be one really effective way to really help move through those stressful feelings. Yeah. And even, sorry, another just example that comes to mind is that are like a birthday party, right? Your kids having a birthday party. Why am I not enjoying this? Why is this feeling so hard? Well, there's the pressure of maintaining the happy, which is a lot of pressure.
It's a lot.
A lot of pressure to expect yourself to maintain the happy, right? And to then you have different people that you want to be sure that they're enjoying themselves. And these experiences can really shift to something more stressful. When we, again, aren't thinking about what is actually happening and getting grounded in the present moment.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that like having just like so much compassion for yourself in some of these moments, right? When it's not the happy experience that you were hoping for. And it's like, oh, like what a bummer. But that's okay to kind of have like some of these like bummed out feelings that I thought that this birthday party was going to feel a lot more fun for me. And this is really overwhelming and a lot. And maybe that means that you kind of have to shift some of those expectations for the next time of, okay, do I want to be a family that has birthday parties every year? Or is this something that I'm going to like only take on milestone birthdays because it's a lot for me? And then like, it's okay.
And that's okay.
Like different things, right?
It doesn't have to look one way. It doesn't have to look like your neighbor looks. It doesn't have to look like Instagram. It doesn't have to look a certain way.
And that's like a big driver of some of these shoulds, right? It's like when we get caught up in some of this comparison trap.
Such a trap of comparison. Absolutely. It's a really dangerous place. And it's just not, you know, it is impossible to live up to someone else's design of life or the expectations that other people have. And it doesn't have to look a certain way. It can look your way. And what is that? And what works for you? And what feels good to you? And what works for your family? What works for your kiddos' unique needs and their development and their sensory needs and how they can tolerate all of the different things? And it's okay that it looks different than someone else's.
And all those things can change in the next season. And then you got to like reevaluate the expectations.
Right. Isn't that the funny thing?
It's a never ending cycle.
It's always changing, which can be, you know, stressful and freeing at the same time, because sometimes it's like, what?
I find myself like eating my words a lot as a parent sometimes, where I'm like, okay, we're going to be like a family that does this. And then I don't know, things shift or change, or financial things change, or my kids' ages change. And then it's like, well, actually, we're not going to be a family that does that anymore. We're going to do this, you know.
And being open to those changes.
Yeah. It's okay.
Being open to it being different. Yeah, it's okay that it and it's supposed to change, right? Our feelings change, experiences change. We have to adapt to the world that we're living in, the experiences that are happening right now. And it's okay that it feels different than we initially expected.
Yeah. Michelle, do you feel like there's, I guess, something that we can do kind of in some of these moments where I had this expectation that this birthday party was going to be this fun, great experience, and now I'm in the middle of the birthday party and I'm not happy. I'm not enjoying this. Is there things that we can do kind of in some of these moments to bring us back or shift over to some of the happy stuff that we do want? Or do we need to be like shifting to acceptance and just meeting ourselves kindly where we are? I guess, like, what can we kind of do in the moment?
Yeah, I think those are really helpful things you just named. And naming the experience is so important. And it can sort of make it feel less threatening when you name, right now, this isn't feeling good to me. Mm-hmm. Or I'm feeling really anxious right now. Or this is feeling really overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Naming that can sort of give the emotion less power. And so I think that it can be so helpful in those moments to just check in, literally pause. I want to encourage parents to pause. It is so important to slow down and just in those moments, pause and say to yourself, what am I feeling right now? I'm feeling overwhelmed. Taking a breath, showing yourself some compassion, reminding yourself, it's okay that I feel this way. You know, lots of people feel overwhelmed at a birthday party, with a move, with a new job, with whatever it is. This is an okay and normal experience I'm having. And then taking another breath and perhaps saying something kind to yourself, you know, reminding yourself, I show up for my kids the best that I can. I'm doing my best in this moment to make this the best experience for them. I am enough. I am kind. I am loving. Whatever feels sort of authentic for you to say to yourself, saying something kind. And then I think it's so important to also practice gratitude, reminding yourself of the things that are already existing in your life that you have to be grateful for. You know, and part of what can be helpful in these stressful moments is, again, mindfulness strategies. And so it's maybe it's even just using your available senses. If you can see, looking around, saying, what can I see that I'm grateful for? What can I hear that I'm grateful for? What are some smells that are happening that I'm grateful for? Doing a senses search can really, you know, ground you in the present moment. And also reminding yourself that what is happening will end.
Yeah.
This party will end. This situation will end. This is not going to last forever, because sometimes we can get even more stressed out, getting sort of trapped in this feels like it's never going to end. Great. This feeling is just going to get even more overwhelming, but reminding yourself that it will, you know, it will end and I am okay.
Yeah. I really want to drive home the importance of all the what questions that you are asking here and how powerful that is for some of this mindset during these moments, right? I think our inner critics can get so loud at times. And so it's really important to be, you know, all the what questions, you know, what am I feeling? What am I experiencing? You know, kind of getting out of your body. What am I hearing? What am I seeing? And the what is so powerful of like getting curious about, you know, what is this experience, you know, trying to tell me, you know, whatever. But so many of us get trapped in some of these like whys. Why am I not enjoying this the way that I thought I would? Why am I like this? Why do I always get so stressed out, right? And so like,
what's wrong with me? What's wrong with my kid? Right. There's nothing wrong with you or your child, you know? Right? And that internal dialogue
So important.
That internal dialogue is really key, and reframing the situation in a way that is more positive, being really intentional about your thoughts is so, so powerful, because what we think impacts how we feel, which impacts how we respond. Mm-hmm. And so if we can be more intentional about what we're thinking, and not even just saying something kind to ourselves, but also, how am I perceiving this right now? Is this, you know, is this feeling like, is this the worst thing that's happening, or is this feeling challenging right now? Reframing things can be so powerful in helping us to just think of it a little different and have a better perspective. Mm-hmm. And just saying kind things with that internal dialogue, I cannot stress that enough, how important it is to be intentional about what we're saying to ourselves and being kind and gentle to ourselves.
I always, like, you know, we wouldn't talk to our friends or our kids or our partner the way that we do to ourselves in our head sometimes. And we really have to, like, shift, like, get nice to yourself.
It starts
all
with
these
you.
Relationships, like, flow from you, right?
So, it, like, does.
We have to be so nice to ourselves.
We have to. Because really, I mean, our reality is in our minds, right? It really is. Perception is reality. And so if we're able to take some control over that, or control over our thinking, control over how we are interpreting the things that are happening around us, we can have more control over our lives and our experience, because we can only control ourselves, only control what we're thinking. We can't control our kids. We can't control all of these external factors. We can control what we think. We can control our attitude. We can control our responses. We can control how we show up.
I wish that we did have more control, but, you know, that's another conversation.
But part of that is releasing that. It's that we have to release it. It's not about controlling our kids. It's about learning how to control ourselves.
So, Michelle, a lot of the women in my community are parenting while breaking cycles, while healing from some of our childhood wounding things. And so I think that, like, when we talk about some of this should be happy stuff, right? And I'm, like, air quoting, you can't see me, but I'm like, should be
big air quotes,
right? When we're talking about some of this should be happy stuff, it gets really, like, kind of complicated, because I feel like for so many of us, we just want to, like, break away from all this past wounding stuff. We want to break away. Maybe, you know, a lot of the women in my community are estranged from their families or estranged from their mothers, and just, like, want to kind of turn off that part of our life for certain events, right? It's like, I just want to, like, be able to turn off the switch that I struggle and that I'm hurting, I'm navigating this painful journey, and just be happy at my kid's birthday party and not grieving and trying to be happy at this birthday party, right? Or maybe it's our birthday that's triggering. Maybe it's Mother's Day that feels complicated. You know, I think that there's lots of days on the calendar that, air quotes again, should be happy. But we also are navigating some grief around some of these days. Do you think that, like, I don't know, I again think that this is, like, going to be a lot of the how we talk to ourselves and show up for ourselves, and a lot of compassion. But do you think that there are other tools that women can use on days that feel complicated, where there's grief and I'm being mean to myself, that I just should be happy here?
In addition to all that internal dialogue and being compassionate to yourself, I think it can also be helpful to get ahead of those days. If you know that it's coming, what can you do to take care of yourself? What can you do to prepare yourself? That not expecting the hard moment can make those hard moments even harder. And so if we can anticipate it and prepare and be proactive, then we get to take care of ourselves a little bit better. And so maybe it's bookending that challenging birthday party with things that feel really good, whether it's a phone call with someone that you love that just delights you, or whether it's having a cup of coffee or tea before it gets cold, or whatever it might, whatever way self-care looks for you. Maybe, you know, after this, I'm going to take a walk, or after this or before this, I'm going to just take some intentional breaths and just be mindful for, or be, meditate for, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, going for a walk, just whatever it might be. bookending that situation and being proactive is a really great way to take care of yourself.
I could not agree more. I'm like, literally everybody after this episode, go take out your calendar, look at the days.
Yeah.
Like, you know the days. That are hard.
Circle, yeah.
Like,
prepare
make a reminder,
for it.
Like a week before, like, okay, this day is coming. What am I doing to start my preventative self-care?
Yeah.
On the back end for my recovery, right?
Before
it is so
and after.
Important. And I think that, like, just being really nice to yourself that it's allowed to be complicated and it's allowed to have, like, both feelings, right?
Both can exist.
Yeah.
And I think there is such freedom in sort of accepting that. Yeah. Like, both, it doesn't mean that you're not a good parent because this moment feels hard or because it's complicated or it just feels icky to you.
Yeah.
It's okay that it does. We're allowed to have a range of emotions and experiences and allowing yourself to have that. Yeah.
Michelle, can you kind of talk to us about, I guess, like, how we know when stress is coming up in our body and how we can move it?
I think when tuning in to everyone is different, right? And sort of stress shows up and feels different to each of us. Some people, your heart may start to race. Some people, your stomach may get into knots. Some people, your hands might start getting sweaty. Your body all over may start getting sweaty, right? Your thoughts may start to race. Typically your fight or flight response gets really triggered. And so you might feel like you want to escape this moment. And so all of those things are really important to tune into. Like, what's happening in my body? What's, like, really, what am I feeling all over right now? And tuning into how your body responds to stress can help you pay attention to the clues that your body gives you in those moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I so agree. Yeah, stress. It's hard.
It is hard. There's a lot of stress in the world. The world in general is more stressful these days. And there's
and
a lot that we're navigating.
Right. That's true. And I think that just, like, our modern motherhood, like, mm-hmm. period, is stressful,
mm-hmm.
right? You know,
yeah.
Our modern world right now, it's scary out there. there's a lot to be stressed about. And I agree. Just, like, kind of tuning in. And I, again, like, kind of going back to what I said before of it, like, different seasons, or it's okay that, like, things change. I think that, like, also the way that stress might show up or the way that you're offloading might, you know, kind of change too, where you might go through seasons where you need more rest.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, for me right now, I'm in a season where I have to move my body. You know, if I am not moving
so
my
important.
Body every day, I am mentally like, I got to go clear it out.
Yeah,
you know,
same.
Lot, you know, so I go to the yoga studio, I sweat it out, I do hot yoga. And that is a big one for me to kind of offload all my things.
Yeah, there's... get it out of the bed. I also love hot yoga.
Yeah.
And but whatever sort of movement works for you, you know, maybe it's yoga, maybe it's weights, maybe it's riding a bike, maybe it's going for a walk, maybe it's going for a swim, maybe it's a dance party in your kitchen.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
What you can do with the kids, even.
Yeah.
Board, right?
Exactly. But whatever way, go around the block, go up and down the stairs in your office building.
Yeah.
Whatever way you can move, you know, it doesn't have to look, again, it goes back to this, what should it be?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to look one way. Whatever movement feels good to you that you can do consistently,
mm-hmm.
I'm all for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. The shoulding. Get out your calendar and look at your hard days and also figure out all the ways that you're shoulding on yourself and knock it off.
and reframing those shoulds. What's another way to think of this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of I should be doing this, maybe it's like I get to do this.
Yeah.
You know, I get to have this opportunity. I get to go here as opposed to I should, because that just sets us up for...
I think that there's probably a lot of them that we can even offload, you know, that like mm-hmm. don't even align.
Exactly.
Or like, should, like, I don't know, maybe
who
like,
should
shouldn't
is
even
it?
Be like a priority for us. Like, it's not something that we prioritize.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's very social media driven at times, and, you know, just kind of looking at the people that are around you, right? You know, maybe it's you're looking at the other parents that are at the same school as your kids, and they're sending
that seem to have it all together, but you don't know, right? You don't know anybody's real authentic experience,
you know?
And so exactly, stop with the comparisons. Those shoulds are so dangerous.
Yeah, they're like the thief of joy, aren't they?
Mm.
I know, but there's just like so many that I think we get like wrapped up into, and I'm like guilty of it myself, where it's like I should be sending these kind of lunches for my kids, but like I have four kids and I work, and it's like I don't have time for all that.
But you know, maybe even writing down all the they're getting fed, it's fine. But even writing down all of those shoulds, right? Taking like literally making a list of all of the things that you feel like you should do. And either reframing them or taking one at a time, because it can be overwhelming sometimes to think of all the different things. And so pick one. What is the big should that you keep telling yourself, I should be doing this way or differently? And then how can you shift that one thing? How can you make that one thing really what works for you and not what you think you should do based on it working for somebody else?
Yeah. Michelle, I so appreciate you having this conversation with me. I think that there's so many great perspective shifts that my listeners are able to walk away with, and I hope that you all do. And I hope that you go find Michelle too. Michelle, tell my listeners where they can find you so that they can continue to learn from you and get all kinds of different parenting tips and tricks.
Absolutely. So the best way is that parentingpathfinders.com. You can connect with me through there. There's a way to learn more about the workshops that I'm offering. You can also find me on Instagram at parenting_pathfinders. I'm on LinkedIn. You can go to my link tree, which is linked into my Instagram bio, and you can see all of my work there and connect with me there. You can schedule a consultation and get started if that works for you.
Perfect. I will be linking all of those in the description of this podcast, so make sure that you go find Michelle. Michelle, thank you again for joining me and helping me support you, the mother.
Thank you so much, Abby.